Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, just to be in your presence is such a gift. It's such a privilege and honor. And I just pray, Lord, that as we gather now around your word, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that I would step out of the way, and that you would speak to hearts, Lord, and that today, through this time together, we would come to understand better the people that you are creating and shaping us to become, and the things that you are calling us to do in this lost and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as most of you know, this past week, our church hosted a vacation Bible school for the children of our community, in which we shared the love of God with them. And I'll have Uncle Don put up the first slide. It's just a little snapshot of the excitement, joy, and sheer craziness that happened this last week. As you can tell, we've had to remodel the entire sanctuary for this service. I'm a little sad not to see the colorful balloons surrounding me today. On Thursday, during the Bible story lesson, when Bonnie gave an invitation to those who wanted to enter the family of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, 19 children responded. Praise God. Throughout the week, many co-workers and helpers spent a great deal of time planning the games, preparing teaching material, buying supplies, and spending time with the children and parents of those who attended. I was once again so impressed by the hard work and the dedication of our adults and young co-workers who, through the sacrifice of their time and energy, made this week a wonderful success. Recently, we also welcomed back our mission teams that were serving in Taiwan and York, Pennsylvania. And this week, we also sent out our China team. They flew out on Thursday, I believe. Not only that, but a number of parents have been volunteering on Friday nights to lead our sports activities, to cook the weekly barbecue, and to share their testimonies with our young people. And don't forget that one week ago, on last Saturday, we had a spruce up the church day where many of you spent hours cleaning and painting so that our building would be fresh and welcoming as we welcomed the children to our VBS last week. In so many ways, this summer has been a summer of service in which we as an English congregation have offered to God our talents and our abilities, allowing Him to use us for His glory. And so today we'll look a little bit more closely at the works of service that God calls us to do as Christians. Recently I spoke about the five leadership gifts listed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that God gives the church in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Today we return to Ephesians 4 in order to look at the purpose of these leadership roles, which is to prepare God's people for works of service. And we will turn our attention to the proper place of good works in the Christian life. We will then look at the way that Jesus prepared His own disciples for the ministries to which He called them to serve in, which I believe serves as a model for how God wants Christian leaders today to prepare God's people for works of service. And then next week, we will continue our study by seeing how God intends for works of service to build up the body of Christ, which is what Paul refers to in Ephesians 4, verse 12. To begin with, though, we need to admit that whenever we think about good works, doing things to serve God, we draw very near the temptation of thinking that our work for God enables us to enter a relationship with God or to somehow win God's favor, God's blessing. Now, indeed, God wants us to do certain things, such as sharing His truth with a friend who's searching for spiritual meaning, or to show God's love to someone we know who's hurting and alone. God calls us as His children to obediently do these things, but we must be clear that this obedience does not enable us to enter a relationship with God or to win God's favor. In fact, nothing that you or I can do, nothing can earn salvation. Nothing we do can earn the favor, the kindness, the blessing that God freely offers to us in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, just two chapters before Paul speaks of the leaders of the church preparing God's people for works of service, Paul writes this. This is very important. Listen to this. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God to us, not by works, the things we do. It is not by works, so that no one can boast." Next slide, please. "For by grace you have been saved." Grace here refers to God's favor that we did not and cannot earn. It is the favor and kindness of God that God freely offers to us in Jesus Christ by making a way for our sins, the bad things we have done, to be removed from us through Christ's cross, and for the penalty of death that we deserve to pay because of our sin, for this penalty to be fully and completely paid for us by Jesus Christ in our place. Apart from Jesus bearing our sin on the cross, and by this opening the way for our friendship with God, there is no way that you and I could ever reach God. There is no way that we could ever earn God's favor, God's kindness. Almost every other religion on earth, at its heart, is about people trying to climb up their way to God through good works, about people trying so hard to purify themselves through doing things, and by doing good things, by trying to enable themselves to earn a pleasant afterlife. Almost every other religion except Christianity is about us trying to earn our way to God. Only Christianity teaches that we are hopeless sinners who cannot earn our way to God, who are separated from God's life and love by our sin, who desperately need God to come down to us in Jesus Christ to make a way for us to have a friendship with God. It does not matter how many mission trips you go on, how many vacation Bible schools you volunteer at, how many people you help at church, or how many community service hours you give in your neighborhood. It does not matter. Only by placing our faith in Jesus, which means looking to Him as our Lord and Savior and trusting in His death on the cross in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, do we receive the grace, the favor of God. As you can see, our salvation in every way, from beginning to end, is a free gift given to us through God's generosity, kindness, and grace. Because it's a free gift, No one can boast about the hard work they put in, which enables them to have this friendship with God. It's like field day at my elementary school. Every year we'd look forward to field day. It was the second to last day of the school year because the last day of the school year, they brought all of us to Six Flags. Well, it was called Valley Fair, but it was the amusement park in my area. Can you imagine that? Last day of school, Six Flags, and then back then, summer homework was not yet invented. And so then the whole summer was off. And so we would all look forward all year to field day, Valley Fair, and then no summer homework. I just wish you could have lived back then. It was the glory days. And this field day, it was made up of various athletic competitions, such as the high jump, the long jump, the 100-yard dash, the 50-yard dash, and the 440-yard relay. And all of us as elementary kids, we compete. And then if we got first, second, third prize, we would get these ribbons. It was so great. Blue ribbon for first, red ribbon for second, white ribbon for third. But there was another ribbon that you would get, a ribbon that no one really wanted, because it was the yellow ribbon that you would get if you had not won any other ribbon. It was something you would get to just congratulate you for participating in the day so that every kid could bring home a ribbon and not feel bad. But what the teachers probably didn't realize is that after that day, though there was a lot of boasting. Those who had blue ribbons especially would boast about how they're the fastest runner in their entire class or how they can jump the highest or jump the furthest. These skills that, as you know, in the long run don't really help us that much in life. But we were really excited. But there was no boasting at all from those who had yellow ribbons. Why not? Because no one did anything to earn a yellow ribbon. You got it for just showing up, right? Now, in a similar way, there's no reason for us to boast about our friendship with God. It is not our talent. It is not our skill. It is not our hard work that enables us to know God. It's a free gift that He gives to us. Next slide. Well, some people make the mistake of thinking they can earn salvation. Others make the opposite mistake of thinking that because salvation is a free gift, that there is nothing that God asks them to do. But Paul, immediately after teaching us that good works can never earn God's favor or our salvation, goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, there's a lot of work going on. There's a lot of work happening. First of all, God is working. What's God doing? Well, God is molding us. God is developing and shaping us in Christ Jesus. After entering our friendship with God through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are recreated as new people. We are born all over again. We are given new life and a fresh start in Christ Jesus, a completely new identity. And God's shaping and recreating process in our lives moves in a specific direction and toward a specific goal. And that goal is this: good works. Good works. Now, each day on the internet, you and I read about how we live in a world that is hurting and broken, filled with people in desperate, horrible situations, people who need to know about God's love and experience God's love in action. And so God calls us to bring His life, His light, His hope to the people around us. This work does not open the door of our friendship with God. But once we do know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and once God begins His work of transformation in us to make us more like Jesus, these good works will naturally flow from us. It will be inevitable. Sometimes it's like when you meet an artist, right? We've all met artists, perhaps a painter. And sometimes you'll meet someone like a painter who will explain to you that she simply cannot hold back her creative impulse. She cannot help but produce fantastic paintings. It's like she has no choice. This amazing art just flows from her life. And she just makes these wonderful works of art. It's just who she is. And I think that this is what Paul has in mind. As a child of God, the good works that God calls us to do will simply flow from us because of who we are in Christ. God welcomes us into a friendship with Him, and by faith we receive this free gift. Our lives begin to be transformed to be more like Christ. And then the good works that God calls us to do will flow. Because of God's life in us, good works will flow. And we cannot help but be reaching out with the life and love to the people around us who are hurting and broken. In this way, God wants to use us to change the world. Paul ends Ephesians 2:10 with a closing thought, one that reminds us that it's not up to us to decide how to make a positive contribution to our world. Paul tells us that these good works that God creates and fashions us in Christ to do have been prepared in advance by God. He prepares the good works for us to do in advance. When I was a small child, I had some toy cars. Raise your hand if you've ever owned a toy car. All right, a few of you. All right, even some of the young ladies. And I had some of these toy cars that you would wind up either by turning a dial or by pulling it backwards. And then once you wound it up, you would release it and you would just let it go. But the thing is, once you released it, it was impossible any longer to steer the car where you wanted it to go. The only way that you could direct that little car where you wanted it to go is by pointing it in the general direction that you wanted to go, and then point it there, and then let it go, and then it would just zoom off. Now, some of us have the mistaken belief that this is kind of what God does in our lives, that at the moment of salvation, God somehow winds us up, and then He points us in the general direction of where He wants us to go, and then He lets us go to zoom off alone in that direction, and that God kind of stands back and hopes that we'll make the right choices along the way. But this is totally mistaken. Yes, God sends us out into service, but He goes with us every step of the way, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew 28:20. But not only that, not only does God go with us, but God goes ahead of us. In Ephesians 2:10, we see that God is already ahead of us, preparing good works for us to do. God places people and situations in our lives that He has arranged for us to share God's truth and God's love with those people. He's put them there in advance. The people in your life who are hurting, broken, searching for truth, or in need of a friend are not there by accident. God arranged, before you ever got to this place in your life, for you to meet them, for you to reach out to them, for you to share God's truth and God's love with them. In fact, God created you, the way He created and is shaping you now, is with certain good works in mind, certain ways that God desires to be glorified in and through your life. You are God's workmanship. He is creating and shaping you. He is preparing specific needs and opportunities in your life that you will meet today, tomorrow, this week, next week, in the coming year. And He wants to use you in these moments to change the world. We've seen today that God is busy working in us, shaping us for good works, and that He is also preparing good works in advance for us to do. Ephesians 4, two chapters after the verses I've been talking about this morning, then builds on this thought by teaching us that God desires to use the leaders of the church to prepare God's people for works of service. These leaders partner with God in helping God's people understand what God is calling them to do and how to obey. Now, in thinking about how apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers prepare God's people for these works of service, it's helpful to look at Christ's ministry and how He prepared His disciples for service. Next slide. As Christ is the model for each of the five leadership roles, so too He is also the model for how to prepare God's people for works of service. And we see in the gospel accounts that Christ prepared the disciples for service in primarily three ways. First, Jesus modeled faithful ministry. In John 13, after Jesus performed a powerful act of service by washing the disciples' feet, Jesus tells them, "I have set an example for you, that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus taught His followers about works of service by serving in front of them, by allowing them to see Him in action, and then by encouraging them to imitate what He has done. We see that this process of modeling also marks Paul's ministry. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." If you want to be a leader in Christ's kingdom, someone who others look up to and admire, then allow Christ to shape and form you to be a person who follows Christ's example and who in turn provides a good model for others to imitate. Second, Jesus prepared His disciples for works of service by teaching them the truth about God. In fact, it seems that Jesus spent far more time teaching His disciples and the crowds who followed Him than He did actually healing the sick, driving out demons, and feeding the hungry. Works of service are very important, but they cannot be separated from our understanding of who God is as revealed through Jesus Christ, of who we are as sinners loved by God, of the salvation offered to us by Christ, and of what God commands us as His children to do. We only understand these things through carefully studying God's Word. And just as a side note, the major mistake that modernist liberal Christianity has made is this: at this very point, they separate good works from God's truth. They think it's all about what we do and not about what we believe. And so the Bible calls us to join these things, belief and works. If you want to be a leader in God's kingdom, then you must devote yourself to the study of Scripture and to growing in your understanding of God's truth. Only by allowing yourself to be shaped and transformed by God's truth given to us in the Bible will you become someone who God will entrust with teaching others about how God desires to use them in service. Finally, Jesus prepared his disciples for works of service by sending them out. He sent the 12 disciples on a short-term mission trip. And he then later sent out 72 devoted followers on a second mission trip. And of course, Jesus sends each one of us out in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1. This reveals that God chooses to entrust vitally important work to fallen, fallible, imperfect people like you and like me. God does so because he does not focus on who we are today, but on the people we are becoming, the men and the women he is shaping us to be in the future. God's eye is on our potential and on developing it for his glory. Now, there is a very important lesson in this for us. If you desire to be a leader in God's kingdom, then you must allow God to train your vision to see the potential in the people around you. You must become a person who identifies and focuses on the strengths of the people around you, not on their weaknesses. Why is this so important? Because God raises up leaders in the church to be encouragers, to be people who call others to live in the fullness of their calling in Christ and who then help them to become all that they can be. As God entrusts imperfect people like us with the task of proclaiming his truth and love, Christian leaders must entrust significant ministry tasks to the people around them because they see their potential in Christ. They see what the people around them, who they are becoming in Christ, and they desire to help them grow and to experience the fullness of the calling that God has placed upon their lives. This morning we have seen that we cannot receive salvation or God's favor through our hard work, but that Christ saves us freely by faith so that we can be used by him for works of service. God shapes us for service, prepares specific tasks for us in advance, and then calls us as leaders in his kingdom to prepare others for service. We then considered the way that Christ prepared his own disciples for this service, which provides the model for how we too are to enable and prepare the people around us to be all that they can be by serving Christ. Next slide. In closing, I would like to share a little bit more about our mission trip to York, Pennsylvania, which you'll hear much more about next week when the young guys share themselves about what they did and how God spoke to them on our short-term mission trip. During our time of serving there, I watched 5 young men, each of whom had spent many years learning about God at church, take new steps serving God and doing things that they had never done before. Most of them had never before stayed away from home without their parents. And I don't think that any of them had ever before worked for hour after hour, day after day, pulling weeds, shoveling mulch, building gardens in a neighborhood gripped by poverty in order to show other people what God's love looks like in flesh and blood when it is transformed into action. As I watched these young men work in the hot sun, clean the kitchen and dining hall of the school where we stayed, lead devotions, and face separation from parents with courage and even good humor, I realized that I was watching young leaders growing and developing before my eyes. They were taking new and deeper steps into the calling that God has placed on their lives by doing the works of service that God has prepared in advance for them to do. May each of us follow their example. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much that you love us with this unimaginable, crazy love that not only forgives us and redeems us from our sin, but then gives us the high privilege of following you by serving you. You call us to works of service, which you shape and prepare and tailor make for each one of us. Lord, thank you. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, let us see in a new way the things you want to do in and through our lives to change the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.